with former Vikings coach Brad Childress and Chris Mortensen from ESPN, available via podcast at KFAN.com. Welcome back, Paul Allen, Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com, Joe Nelson, the on-site producer from Indianapolis at the 2012 National Football League Scouting Combine. Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, kind enough to join us for a couple of segments. Leslie Frazier will join us at this time tomorrow. With free agency approaching, it's interesting to note that free agency takes place later in March than usual. In fact, mid-March. And a lot of these rookie pro days begin in early March. For instance, I was chatting yesterday in Indianapolis after flying in with Drew Rosenhaus, and he was chatting about the University of Miami pro day, which is March 8th. So you get these pro days before free agency. That's very unique. How does it play into the process?
Before, and most of the time, after you got back from the combine, free agency usually started the first week in March. This year, it's not until March 13th. So what you're seeing is a lot of these colleges are scheduling their pro days more in the front of the month of March in that first week. So there is, you know, multiple schools going on a pro day a lot of times on the same day. So what we're going to have to do, and what I will do, is probably get back from the combine, hit the road, and go out and do these pro days, and then fly back in to start the free agency. But they are trying to, the colleges are trying to go around that day too, and you can tell by the number of pro days that are being scheduled in that first week of March.
Even though Andrew Luck most likely will go first overall in the draft, are the Vikings well represented at like an Andrew Luck pro day?
Yeah, we're going to interview Andrew. We'll interview RG3 while we're down here. We'll spend some time with them, see what they do here at the combine. We'll have representation for sure out of those pro days. So we're going to do our due diligence on those quarterbacks as well. But in the same breath, we have a lot of confidence and feel very confident about what Christian Ponder brings to our organization as our future quarterback.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. But another reason you would go to those pro days is Baylor has a wide receiver who's very well regarded. So you go to RG3's pro day, but it's also that kid's pro day. Or Stanford has a wide receiver and a tight end that are pretty good.
And two offensive linemen that are pretty good
as
well.
Yeah, so there you go. So, I mean, you know, you go to those and you check those guys out too. Everyone else is paying attention to Andrew Luck, but you're looking at some other guys.
Well, we're paying attention to Andrew Luck too. Yeah. And we just want to be prepared as we go through our process where we see these quarterbacks. And, excuse me, if they fall to number three, what would you do?
Right.
And I just want to make sure we're prepared for that scenario in case that scenario happens.
Yep.
Could you draft today? If all of a sudden something happened and they said, well, we're going to hold the draft today, could you conduct the entire draft today?
It wouldn't be as detailed. The reason I would say no is because we don't have all the physicals on these players yet. We don't have all the psychological testing on these players yet. We haven't interviewed all these players yet.
Yeah.
We haven't done our full evaluations on these players yet as far as the coaches coming in and chiming in on what they think of the players and how they fit our scheme. So, sure. Do we have our initial draft board kind of set and guys in place?
Yep.
But that's going to get fine-tuned as we go through the next 2 months.
I found in following you guys from afar at the Senior Bowl, one of the most intriguing guys was Janoris Jenkins, the cornerback from North Alabama, previously with Florida. And is the interview process with him, was it there and now subsequently here? Does that get you squared away on who he is for a team that absolutely needs help in the secondary?
Yeah, he's a very talented corner. He also does returns. Very talented when he was at Florida. You know, he had those off-field issues, and that's part of the process is you have to go through those off-field issues with him, see how forthright he is and how comfortable you feel with that player and if he fits in with what we're looking for as a player. We had to do that with Percy Harvin because he had some issues when he came in. And we ended up still drafting Percy because he was that talented of a football player and felt comfortable after we went through our process.
And Janoris, you would deem him a very talented football player, fast, good, physical?
Very good football player.
Yeah.
You know, the glitz and glamour of the combine, I mean, look where we are and all the media that's here, and there's press conferences and there's coaches and GMs walking around. But a very important part of the combine, and you just touched on it, was the medical part. And, you know, we ran into some of our medical staff as we were walking over here, and no one talks about them. They're never on camera, but that is such an important part, so much so that they come back here a couple weeks from now, right, and they do rechecks on guys.
They'll come back in April, so if a player had just had surgery and has not passed a physical, or he's still in rehab, he'll have to come back and get rechecked. The big part of this thing is you couldn't conduct all these physicals for this amount of players by them flying to everybody's facilities. You'd just run out of time. So a huge part of this process is when these players come in to get everything from the orthopedic stuff done, from the internal stuff done, from the hearing, from the eyes, everything from A to Z. This is the only chance you have, or your doctors have a chance to put their hands on these kids. And we'll identify specific guys. If he has a specific knee issue or he may have a shoulder issue, how it works, we'll make sure our doctors also put their hands on him, and so they can give us the best advice as we go forward.
Rick, I know you hate being at 3 because to get there you had to be 3-13, but now that you're here and it's in the rearview mirror, and today really is the official start of the 2012 season, and you go to the pro days and free agency and the draft and the camps and then training camp and everything. So here we are. Do you find 3 to be a very advantageous spot with the way the draft, how you think the draft is going to shake out, specifically with Robert Griffin III?
Very excited about, not excited about being a 3 because our record, but we better take advantage of being 3 because I don't plan on ever being this high again.
Right.
So if you're going to be in this situation, if you got lemons, make some lemonade, and hopefully we're going to make some lemonade coming up here.
Do you anticipate teams trying to work with you to get up to get the Baylor quarterback?
I'll anticipate on draft day it'll be very active, especially with the new CBA where the money for those top 5 picks from a rookie standpoint is not where it used to be.
It's doable.
So it's doable, and there's a lot more activity that's going to happen as far as trades. And when you look at this draft class, and you look at this part right now, you know, those are the two top quarterbacks, and then where it falls from there, who's the next line of quarterbacks, that'll yet to be determined. But if teams think they are franchise quarterbacks and it's hard to get franchise quarterbacks and they're in striking distance to come up, I imagine it'll be pretty active on draft day.
There's so many exciting parts of the year in the NFL calendar. Driving to training camp is one of my favorite days. When we're on the team bus or the plane for the first regular season game is awesome. Middle of the season gets to playoff time. But this is you love this time, right?
This is my favorite time of year.
I can tell.
Here at
I can
combine
tell.
And,
really?
Yeah. Well, again, because we just spent 3 weeks in meetings.
Yeah.
And so written notes, stack the board.
Yeah.
And this is the first chance you're going to get to see this draft class all together and compare them as they go through drills and interviews. And now you get a chance to really start honing in and fine-tuning your draft board as you get closer to the draft.
Christian Ponder and being the starting quarterback for you next year. Is that the take, or is it still open to evaluation? You're sitting there at 3. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to play your hand here on the radio, but say Robert Griffin III is available at 3. How are you going to balance that?
Again, we're in the process of that right now. So we're very excited, again, what Christian Ponder brings to our football team. Very excited about what he did last year. Very excited about how he's going to grow and take another step going into the next year. But in the same breath, you have to do your due diligence. And you have to do your due diligence on Luck. You have to do your due diligence on RG3. And you have to make that determination. And he's both those quarterbacks are very talented, but there's just the beginning of the process. We have a long way to go yet before we get to our final analysis. But if you're not doing your job if you don't do your due diligence and prepared for anything that can happen on draft.
Yep. Yeah. On Christian, you know, look at a guy like Eli Manning, who now has 2 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl MVPs. He didn't complete 60% of his passes in a season until his 5th year, and he didn't have a passer rating of over 80 until his 5th year. A lot of pressure on the Giants to maybe give up on him, and same with Tom Coughlin. How do you stay patient on a guy like that? Do you have to convince – I mean, where have you learned that discipline that you need to be patient with a guy?
You just know the history of rookie quarterbacks. You know the history of where these guys eventually end up. But what we did when we drafted Christian is we looked at a lot of the intangible part that made a difference between Eli Manning and a Jamarcus Russell.
Yep.
Okay, if you went to Eli Manning workout and you went to DeMarcus Russell workout, that's night and day when you watch him throw the ball. DeMarcus Russell maybe had the strongest arm and the prettiest ball I've ever seen thrown at a workout. But at that position especially, there's so many other intangibles that go into that position, from the psychological testing, from the mental quickness, from the aptitude to handle that position, how they handle pressure, work ethic, leadership. So especially at that position, it's so important. And guys that may not be as physically gifted as some of the other quarterbacks, but those guys end up excelling because of the intangibles. And we felt very strong about Christian being in that category. But you have to also be patient and let the process take its course, because that it's different than a running back. A running back can go out there, you can put the ball in a running back's hands, and he's going to utilize his athletic skill set. And if he's a great athlete, he's going to make splash plays right off the bat. A quarterback, on the other hand, has so much thinking going on and so much to learn because of the coverages, things that are the adjustments, the speed of the game, how quickly you have to get the ball out, the people rushing. That just takes time.
Rick, it may be the dumbest question you get all day or all combine, but Robert Griffin III, I think the best way to put it is, where did he come from? I mean, it's like I know he's played at Baylor for several years. Last year, absolutely blew up off the charts. So much so that I think, and you would know more about it than me, in almost ludicrous fashion, there were people at the end of the year saying, maybe he should go one, and all this stuff that Andrew Luck's done and everything we've heard about him, that we're just going to go ahead and shuffle him back to two or three. And are you wary when somebody has the season he had last year, but really just emerged on the big-time stage off 1 year?
That's part of the process that you go through. Is he a one-year wonder or is not? But again, a lot of the same stuff was said about Cam Newton when he came out.
Yeah.
Went to JC, played 1 year at Auburn, and he ended up having a great year his first year as a rookie.
Nothing but shotgun, telegraph the ball a little bit, and look at him now.
Right. So those are the things that you weigh in as you go through this process.
Yeah.
And that's, again, everything is so subjective. That's why you try to do all those other objective things from an intangible standpoint.
WabiVikings.com, Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen, Scouting Combine, thanks to Max Ippon. Wabi?
Yeah, I want to switch gears a little bit to back to the pro game. Kind of a philosophical question. We know we talked to Brad Childress about Joshua Cribbs. Maybe Joe Webb is in there. A guy that I really like is Brad Smith with the Bills. These versatile players that you can't really pigeonhole them to one position necessarily. Are there more of those guys coming out and into the NFL now? And then how has that changed how you evaluate a player?
You're going to look at the player's athletic skill set. And there are some players in this draft that, you know, I've personally seen that I've written up as athletes. And what it is that's where the coaches come in. This guy has such great athletic talent. How can we utilize that athletic skill set in our system?
Yeah.
So that's where it's very important that you're on the same page with the coach. If you're bringing in some of these top athletes, they have to have a game plan and have to have an understanding on how they're going to utilize that skill set.
This, like you say, is your favorite time of the year. Okay, just a few more minutes with Rick Spielman, general manager for the Vikings. When you leave here, you have the business part of the equation comes into play. You have some very, very difficult decisions to make with people with whom you've worked for years. But to play in free agency the way I think you want to play, you got to find money. And how are you going to do it? How are you going to find the money to make a run at some of the receivers or cornerbacks or players you want to make in free agency?
When we get back, we'll have a very detailed meeting with myself, with Coach Frazier, with the ownership, and with Rob Brzezinski. And as Rob puts the money part of it together, we'll say, if we cut this player, where are we going to be from a cap standpoint, and how's that going to affect us, not only going into 12, but going into 13. And the difference, I think, now is, in my role, I have to understand what our roster is going to look like in 12, but it's also my job to keep this roster competitive and growing through 13 and beyond those years. So you're not going to make decisions based on one-year tunnel vision projections. You're going to have to look what gives us the best chance this year, but what is also going to help us in the future. And if you spend money on that player now, is that going to affect you from spending money on a player currently on your roster that may be up in 13? So a lot of that goes into play, too. if you're active in free agency, if you're not active in free agency, because you have to project what's going to, your roster is going to look like beyond 2012.
Is Aaron Henderson considered the most coveted outside linebacker in free agency?
I don't know that. I haven't talked to the 31 other teams.
Yeah.
Aaron Henderson has done a good job for us and is a good football player.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I like about Aaron and is coming in as an undrafted free agent, stand out on special teams, works his way into a starting role, and is a solid player. And when you can get, you can't spend $1.5 million on every single guy on your roster. There's some guys that are going to make a ton of money, and then you got to get by with guys that don't make a lot. And when you can get a guy in undrafted free agency, and that's what you guys do after the seventh round's over, you don't go home. I mean, you're on the phone with guys trying to sign them. It's so important, right, Rick, to get guys that might be able to work their way up the ladder, like an Aaron Henderson. Anthony Herrera is another good example of that.
One thing that we did different this year is really hone in without the players, just the position. So I asked Bill Musgrave, I asked Alan Williams and Leslie Frazier on the defensive side, where do we have to have blue-chip players? Okay, if you look at the study over the last 4 or 5 years, or over the Super Bowl winners, they usually have 4 blue-chip players on each side of the ball, what we call blue players.
Yeah.
Then they'll have red players, and they'll each play with 2 purple players, which are backup guys. And with those teams, have done a great job of maybe hiding that purple player's deficiency. What we want to know is where do our blue players have to, what position do they have to line up at? And that's what we're going to allocate our finances to.
Yep.
So if it's an offensive guard or if it's a safety or something that we can get by with in our scheme that doesn't have to be a blue player, he could be a red or purple player,
yep,
then we won't spend as much money in that area, and hopefully you'll be able to fill that with a younger guy,
yep,
that will develop into that eventually.
In closing, some of the players and scenarios that we discuss and that I'm sure you think about with the third overall pick, can you just give us some snippets on these guys off what you know now into the combine, the pro days and stuff like that? Starting with USC left tackle Matt Khalil.
Very talented. You know, he's the brother of, the younger brother of Khalil down at Carolina that ended up in the Pro Bowl.
I think Ryan.
Yeah.
Very scrappy.
Yep. Very good athlete. Very nasty when you watch him on tape. You know, we haven't interviewed him yet. We'll interview him down here through the process to get that. But
yeah,
very talented left tackle.
LSU cornerback Morris Claiborne.
Some people have said that he has even better ball skills than Patrick Peterson when Patrick Peterson came out. Patrick Peterson was an electric punt returner.
Yep.
Morris does some kickoff returns, but has very unique ball skills and a unique talent as far as a cover corner.
Is he far ahead of Drake Kirkpatrick of Alabama in the evaluation process?
Too early to sell it yet.
Yep.
I mean, Kirkpatrick's also another big corner with long arms and
yep,
very talented.
The marijuana allegation with Drake Kirkpatrick, do you think that'll affect his draft status significantly?
Until, you know, we find out what happened and why it happened and
yep,
dig further into that, we won't know that.
Justin Blackmon, wide receiver, Oklahoma State.
Another extremely gifted athlete, has exceptional hands, has very strong runner after the catch, has a knack for making big plays in the passing game. What was part of the reason why Oklahoma State got where they got because of his playmaking ability. The biggest question will him, and everybody's going to want to see, and that'll be the talk of the combine, is what he's going to run in the 40.
Really?
And that'll determine a lot.
Do you think he's fast enough to blow the top off of defense at this stage?
Watching him on tape, he does make a lot of plays and explosive plays in the passing game.
Quentin Copels, defensive end, North Carolina.
Another very talented player, was down at the Senior Bowl, played well in the Senior Bowl.
Stole the show, didn't he?
Yeah. Excellent size,
yeah,
has enough ability to hold his at the point in the run game.
Yeah.
Has some unique pass skills for his size. He'll be a very highly sought after defensive end, I would think.
And outside of the draft, the final one, I promise, the elephant in the room in the offseason, and I think plays into everything we've just talked about, is Chris Cook. You know, and I'm not going to ask you to project or make any predictions or anything. And as you've said before, the court case is going to play itself out. You guys opted to pay him last year while deactivating him, going in with a guy short every game for X amount of games. But given where you took him and what you think of him, you know, despite the fact that he doesn't have any interceptions in like 12 games, he's nevertheless a commodity, quote unquote. with pro days and free agency and the draft and everything, how difficult is it operating not knowing exactly what you're going to do with Chris Cook or if he's even going to be on the team?
You're assuming, well, what we assume is when we go into, regardless if it's Chris Cook or any position, you want to assume that you don't have anybody, and you're going to try to get the best players you can as you go through this thing. And then everybody who's in there and competing, whether they're there or not, is going to make your team better. But, you know, Chris Cook is a situation where we'll let it play out and then see where it goes. But as I said before, you can never have enough good corners in this league, and especially you can never have enough good corners in this division.
Right. And any idea when it's going to play out? Well, when the whole process is going to be over?
No.
No?
No. Nope.
Thank you very much for the time. We enjoyed ourselves. Hopefully you did.
Thank you for having me on. It was an honor and a pleasure to be with Coach Paul Allen on the radio.
Thank you, Rick. Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings, with Mike Wapshaw from Vikings.com. We're at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis on your home for the Vikings in the National Football League, The Fan. Welcome back. It's the National Football League Scouting Combine from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Paul Allen joined by Mike Wapshaw from Vikings.com. We thank General Manager Rick Spielman for the elongated conversation. And in passing now, happy to be joined by a familiar voice, not only on this radio show, but those of you who follow his work in the Twin Cities covering the Vikings in the NFL, Jeremy Fowler from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com here covering the Combine from a Vikings perspective. Good morning, Mr. Fowler.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What are you looking to uncover here, my friend?
Well, I'm curious today about one guy, and that's Matt Khalil. I really think at the end of the day he'll be the pick at number 3 if they don't trade back. I'm just curious to learn all about him. You know, the Vikings are going to be meeting with their in-house free agents, you know, today and a little bit yesterday as well, but I don't know how revealing that will be because I don't expect them to sign a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they can't really tamper with free agents yet, although they might be talking to agents about future plans. So there's a lot of movement with the Vikings and a lot of roster maneuvering they have to do.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we can find out this week.
Well, let me hit you with a couple of scenarios. We just had Spielman on, and, you know, in setting up the interview and everything, I kind of went over a few things, and he wasn't comfortable talking about guys on the team now who may be cut. It's very difficult,
right?
Much more difficult than people listening right now who listen, buy tickets, buy the merchandise, go to chat boards and everything. It's like, you know, for them, it's Hutchinson gone, this guy gone, this
right.
guy gone, let's bring these guys in.
Right.
For the people who have forged relationships with them for years, it's a very, very emotional part of the job coming up. So
right.
let me fire a couple at you, because you are as plugged into this team as anybody in the market. Steve Hutchinson, left guard. It's my belief that Charlie Johnson, the left tackle from last year,
right.
will be a starting guard for the Vikings next year. Something I've talked about since November. I don't know if it's left or right guard. Do you think they will cut a deal with Steve Hutchinson and get him to restructure and keep him on the team, or do you think they will outright cut him?
My inclination is that they will give him a handshake and say thanks and good luck and walk away. I do think at the end of the day it will happen because there are just too many pieces in place.
Yep.
You can save a lot of cap space. You know, he's finished the last two seasons on injured reserve. You know, he's going on 35 years old. However, I do see a scenario where they might restructure because he's a guy that's a Hall of Famer. They don't want to just send him out the door that easily. You're right. There is something. There's an investment there. And also, they're in decent cap shape. I mean, they have a little bit over $10 million to work with already. It's not like they have to shave
okay.
millions of dollars. So there's a chance they could keep him around. My inclination is to say he will be gone, though.
A really quick one off of that. Let's say the guy you mentioned, Matt Khalil, he's the pick. Is
right.
there added value to a guy like Steve Hutchinson to keep him at left guard because you have a brand-new left tackle?
I think that could play into it. But not,
I think that's
not
a great take.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. There could be something there. He can kind of show him the ropes a little bit. And look, Steve Hutchinson, what, he has one more year in his deal. He wants to retire into the sunset.
Yeah.
But it's a tough business. I don't know if it's going to be his decision.
Yeah.
If they move Charlie Johnson, they still have John Sullivan. Phil Lodeholtz some guys that can help a new left tackle along.
Yeah.
You know, Steve would help. His experience would be valued. But I don't know how much that's worth at this point compared to durability and on-field production.
Well, I think they want to get somewhere between 23 and 30-some-odd million under the cap.
Right.
And as you,
which is going to take some work. I mean,
it's going to take some work, man. And Hutchinson's number looks like 7 and change.
Yep.
You know, and to redo him, and it's my belief from private conversations I've had with people who are involved in this, I believe, and I feel comfortable saying this on the radio, I believe Steve Hutchinson would redo his deal down to maybe as low as $2 million and change.
Oh, I agree.
To stay on the team.
Right.
And he doesn't want to go somewhere else. He doesn't want to deal with that. You know, and he really likes it here.
I can see that. And plus he's, you know, I think he came into the year still being a slightly above average left tackle. Maybe he's average at this point, but he's still serviceable. He can still play. You know, it's not like he's a liability at this point.
Jeremy Fowler, TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press. Now, the other guard spot, Anthony Herrera. He's heading into a contract here. Now, in knowing Anthony as well as I do, one thing that he's very excited about, this is his first offseason in 3 years. He has not had to rehab a significant injury.
Right.
So he's either in Atlanta now or heading to Atlanta, along, I believe, with Phil Lodeholtz, both in contract years, to really bust butt to get that next nice contract, specifically for Lodeholtz, because it'll be his second contract. I'm kind of excited to be on the right side of guys in contract years. But then you look at Herrera's number and what he's set to make and the fact that they do want to get somewhere around 23 to 30, whatever, to try to chase Vincent Jackson, Tracy Porter, Marcus Colston, right, Carlos Rogers, guys like that. What do you think about Herrera's status on this team?
Again, it goes back to durability. He's in a tough spot. You're right. He's rehabbing a little bit, and he might be in good shape this offseason. But yeah, I just don't know if the explosiveness is there on that knee. I think he still brings a lot of leadership value, experience. You know, he's a fiery guy that they needed in that huddle this past year. I think there was a difference that Leslie Frazier saw when he was in the game.
Yeah.
From a leadership standpoint, he's still pretty serviceable in the run game, but you just wonder how long those knees can hold up. You know, it's one of those things where when you cut players, it's not everybody's fault. It's not 53 players' fault that you're in trouble or that you're 3-13.
Yeah.
So you can't just cut everybody. You know, I could see him in some scenarios staying. I think Hutchinson would be more of a cleaner break than he would be. So, you know, it's going to be a give or take, but you know, he might be in better shape than Hutch.
Well, in casting the gaze long term, I guess what I'm getting at big picture wise, long form wise, is I believe if they have a crack at Matt Khalil at third overall, they're going to take him. Okay? And they're going to move Charlie Johnson to a guard spot. So now you're looking at a rookie left tackle, a left tackle who's going to guard, and Joe Berger and Brandon Fusco potentially battling it out,
right,
for the other guard spot.
That's the thing. Those guys are cheaper.
Right.
And you can work with them at right guard. And, you know, and they like Fusco. He can maybe play there. So.
Well, Sullivan's developed himself into one of the better centers in the NFL, and Lodeholtz in a contract year, and I want to be on the right side of that. But still, if you're looking to take one of the worst performing offensive lines overall in the National Football League and bolster it with the third overall pick, there still would be uncertainty around all of that with two new guards, is what I'm getting at. So with Hutchinson and or Herrera, I just think it's risky to let them both go.
Right, I can see that. Well, especially with, you know, you bring up Charlie Johnson, you don't know that he's going to make a natural transition to guard. You just don't. I mean, it makes sense on paper, but who knows if he's going to be a great guard. I think he could be, but you're right. You know, maybe keep one of those guys. I don't know. It's going to be a tough call. You know, they can still draft maybe a fourth or fifth round guard as well,
right,
and try to bolster it that way. I know they like Fusco. You know, he's a little raw, but he can still play there. You know, Berger's a little bit of a wild card. I mean, I don't know if he's really a guy you can solidify that spot with.
Yeah.
So, I'm with you. I think, you know, you just because of the money, you have to part with at least one of those guys with the salary involved.
Yeah.
I could see them staying with one for
tough
sure.
Tough decisions, Wobby.
Yeah, let's go to the defensive side of the ball, linebackers EJ and Aaron. Now, the Vikings, Rick Spielman and Rob Brzezinski work really hard to re-sign Sullivan during the season, to get Greenway under contract and Adrian under contract. And those are basically like free agent signings. Do you view not re-signing EJ and or Aaron before the season ended, the way they did those three players I just mentioned, as an indication that we're not going to bring them back? Or what is your read on that?
You know, I think that's possible. I do think they're going to part ways with EJ, you know, just because, again, it's a durability issue. They want to get younger. You know, Aaron could stay for the right price. They could work that out. They hadn't met yet until this week. You know, they'll meet with his agent at the combine. I think, you know, with him and maybe Hussein Abdullah, those could have been pretty easy deals you could have got done during the year. So that is a good point. You know, but I think their thinking there is Aaron might be the most valuable in-house free agent they still have. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess with Shanko, he's still a pretty good player. But, again, they want to get younger. So, you know, I wouldn't count Aaron out. I think he's the guy that they can get something done with. I think he's their priority at this point. But, you know, the way things went last year, look, I mean, you know, one agent classified this to me as Armageddon with this roster. I mean, you know, you have to make a great deal of changes. I like Aaron. I think he could stick around. But other than that, I just really don't know if there's anybody in the picture at this point.
Well, the Shanko name's a wild card, too. I mean, there's so many wild cards with this Vikings team into the combine and free agency, where with Vasante, I would have bet money last year that he would not be on the team next year. You know, they want to move on with Rudolph. They might want to elevate Mickey Schuler, give another look to Alan Reisner. And then Kleinsaucer retires.
Right.
And now it's not like Vasante has the exact skill set that Jim has, obviously, where Jim's much better in the run game and pass protection game. But I can't say I trust Mickey Schuler or Alan Reisner. And, yeah, you can draft a tight end with one of the 10 picks they believe they'll have. But then you'll be heading into a season with a second-year quarterback, a second-year tight end, a running back off an ACL, a backup running back off an MCL, and a rookie tight end who may be bookending with the Notre Dame kid. And I just think I think Shanko's chances of being on this team are greater now than maybe I thought at the end of the year. Do you agree?
Well, I don't know if I agree. When you talk about a team in full rebuilding mode and they're looking to shed some cap space, I don't know if signing him to a pretty big deal, I think he's going to try to command top dollar. I don't know if that's going to work out in their favor.
How's he going to get top dollar off the season he had last year?
But he's, you know, tight ends that are serviceable pass catchers like that, and they're athletic. You know, they're not, you know, easy to find. I think he can go out there and play for a winner somewhere. I mean, he's not going to command $20-30 million guaranteed, but he can get decent money.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I just don't know if I see him back at this point for the team that's desperately trying to get younger. You know, they can fill a need through the draft. There's some decent tight ends in the later rounds that they can maybe invest in as well.
Okay.
You know, I'm with you on Schuler and some of those guys. I don't know if they're really reliable at this point. But I think they're looking for a new outlook as well.
Right now we're in the middle of the period where teams can place franchise tags on their UFAs. With the numbers being what they are, Shanko tight end, $7.3 million is the franchise number for that. Linebackers with EJ and Aaron, it's $8.8 million. Safety with Hussein, it's $6.2 million. I don't think the Vikings will use the tag this year, do you?
No, I mean, yeah, from what I've been told, they're not going to or have no plans to. It just doesn't make sense fiscally. I mean, even with a guy like Aaron Henderson, you can get a deal done that's going to be significantly less over time, you know, per year. I mean, you know, it's so interesting with this free agency period. It really dictates how quickly the Vikings think they can get back to winning, you know? I mean, for all we know, they might not be very active and try to stack their chips and say 2013 we're going to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll really be a reflection of where they think they are. You know, I think if they were really contenders, they might re-sign Shanko and try to give it another 2 or 3 years. But I don't know if they're there. I think they might have a different mindset.
Off the two-segment conversation we just had with Rick Spielman, I asked him, next year, rebuilding, tweaking, how do you look at it? And he cut me off and said we were 3-13. We have a lot of work to do to get back to where we want. So to answer the question, not that it's breaking news or anything, even with Percy Harvin and Jared Allen and Chad Greenway and John Sullivan and Adrian coming back, hopefully to MVP-type form, it's not the worst rebuild job in the world, but it is a pretty big rebuild job.
Yeah, and you got to consider Rick Spielman here. Okay, he comes from Miami, where by the time he was elevated general manager, he made a lot of rush trades to try to compensate for the pressure to win. He's going to approach it differently. He's going to use the values he learned, build through the draft, and simply supplement through free agency. Will he have time to do that in today's NFL? You know, you need a couple years to rebuild it there. I think the Wilfs will give him time. So, you know, that's the way that I'm looking at it. He's going to approach it, and he's not going to spend a whole lot of money. He's going to try to build right here through the draft.
Last one for Jeremy Fowler, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. At the Combine, the radio shows are provided by Maxit Pond.
We were both at the Senior Bowl, and a kid on the South Squad from a school that you used to cover, the Florida Gators, Chris Rainey, running back. Mm-hmm. Well-hyped. He underwhelmed me at the Senior Bowl, but when you watch some of his highlights, I mean, he's a quick, fast thing.
Right.
Do you see the Vikings targeting a guy like that middle rounds because of the uncertainty with Adrian coming back, Toby rehabbing something, his knee not great on Lorenzo Booker? Do you think a guy like Rainey's a good fit for the Vikings?
Possibly. You know, I covered him in Florida. He's a little brittle. I mean, he does not look like an NFL player is a problem. You know, he's built, you know, he's more slender than me. But you know, he's got NFL moves, NFL speed. So he's somebody to consider. They will draft. I mean, if they're going to have 10 picks, they're going to draft one running back. I can guarantee you that. I just don't know where it's going to be. You know, they need some insurance there. You know, one guy maybe comes to mind is Isaiah Pede, that kid from Cincinnati that Leslie Frazier got a really good look at all week and won the MVP of the game, I believe. Maybe that's a guy. If a guy like that slips to the fourth round, let's say, I don't know if he will, third or fourth round, I could see them pouncing on that.
They picked up a kid from San Diego last year. I think his first name's Jordan.
Todman?
Jordan Todman,
I mean, they signed him to a deal. That they must think something of him, you know?
Well, I had some players talk to me who practiced against him late in the loser season last year, who just bragged about his speed and his cutting ability.
Right.
I bet he's part of the mix next year, so that may minimize the need to even think running back. Where, I mean, you just have so much work to do on the offensive line and the secondary. The receivers, man, it's just unbelievable how deep these names go with some of these guys who can, you know, you got a guy who runs a 4.3 from North Carolina State, T.J. Graham. He's projected to be in the sixth round.
Right.
That's a 4.3 guy, just in case, you know.
Right, and you might get a guy like a Michael Floyd slip to the second round there at number 35. I mean,
right.
You just know, because there's some depth there in the second and third rounds. A guy covered in the SEC, Alshon Jeffrey, is taking a hit on draft boards, but he can really make difficult catches downfield. I mean, he could be a second-round option for him. I mean, that's why I think left tackle at the end of the day is what will happen, especially if Robert Griffin goes second. It's a no-brainer to pick Khalil or somebody like that, whoever's the best left tackle, and then try to get somebody of value at corner or receiver in the second round.
15 seconds to close. If Robert Griffin III is available at third overall and they can't trade out of the spot, what do they do?
We need to. If he's unbelievable, they'll take him because you can't pass him up. If he's that good, and these next 2 months, if he wows everybody, I think they take him. But, you know, you got to commit to a quarterback. This revolving door for the last 5 years, I mean, you draft Ponder, you got to stick with him too. So I would commit to Ponder, but I could see them pulling the trigger on Griffin.
Good job. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks
Jeremy Fowler, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. From the National Football League Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com, I'm Paul Allen. This is The Fan.
That's how I roll.
You and me, we're going out to catch some inside.
Minnesota is so hot.
Guaranteed to blow your mind so high you won't come down.
Get y'all, prepare yourself for the rubber band, man.
Super Bowl homeboy.
Never heard a sound like a rubber band, man. You're bound to lose control with a rubber band.
Welcome back to the NFL Scouting Combine. I'm Mike Wobshaw, joined by Joe Nelson. PA ran off somewhere. I think he's trying to chase down a guest, so we're going to take over.
I thought that was my job, but he's taking over for this
Well, one. You know how he gets. He gets a little bit antsy. He gets a little bit anxious when we're in a high stress. I mean, it's not high stress because it's cool here and we're having fun, but there's just so many things to do, people to talk to, that I think he gets a little bit anxious. He's trying to run down John Clayton. Hopefully it happens. We've had a good show so far, don't you think, Joe?
I think it's been great. I've missed most of it, to be honest with you. I've been running around myself. I talked to Chris Martin from Big Ten Network on some Big Ten draft prospects like Riley Reiff and Marvin McNutt, the Dejon McKnight question, Russell Wilson. So I think that'll be up on our Vikings blog page here in a little while if it's not already. So check that out on demand at KFAN.com. Also, I think we'll play it back a little bit later on. I hung out with John Fox and a group of media people for a little while. Of course, the Denver Broncos head coach. And my gosh, is that guy a people's person or what?
I know.
Have you ever sat down in a little huddle with that guy?
Well, I remember last year, and John Fox had just been hired by the Broncos, and John Elway was in that crew too. And at night, every restaurant and bar is packed full of people. And I can't remember what night it was, but I was out with a couple of our scouts just having some dinner, hanging out at a place, and John Elway and John Fox and a big Denver Broncos contingent were on the main floor of this restaurant slash bar.
Yeah.
And they were down there just hamming it up. I mean, having it looking like a great time. I wanted to leave the people I was with and go hang out with those guys because it looked like they were having so much fun.
It is awesome. And it's cool the perspective you get when you actually come here to the NFL Combine versus what you read and see on TV. I mean, you can read everything you want, but you don't get it firsthand like this. And when John Fox starts to talk about the changes the Broncos and maybe some other teams in the NFL will start making conditioning-wise,
yeah,
it's really interesting. So he's throwing out there, you know, a lot of teams are throwing these big 45-pound weights, you know, the big plates on the bench press and,
you know,
on the deadlift and the squat, you know. They're going to go more away from the heavy weights this offseason and work on body weight exercises. Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever worked out and done a body weight exercise before, but, I mean, that's, you know, planking, holding yourself up. It's really it makes your body stronger. It's yoga is what it is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, all kinds of different exercises that the Broncos will be doing this year along with some other teams that John Fox was talking about. And it's cool to get the inside story from a guy who's at the top of the game and actually relates to you on a very personal level. It's like you're hanging out at the bar having
right.
a beer.
Yep. And it's interesting you bring up a change in training, because I had Christian Ponder on one of our Wobcasts, which is brand new this offseason. We do them every Tuesday. We have a guest for a 12 or 15 minute interview.
Yeah.
And he was talking about a more organic way to train, and he mentioned yoga and core strength. And
Kevin Love
the same way, and he's wearing, and I wish I could remember the name of these shoes, and it's hard to describe them, but he's wearing different footwear that strengthens his feet and his calves, and a lot of athletes are going to this different, more organic way of training. It's
right.
interesting that you bring that up. One quick thing before we get back into it. You talked about changes in training. Change to the Vikings draft party this year. I think it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be at Mall of America Field. Vikings fans, you can go to Vikings.com/ I think it's 2000. Yeah, Vikings.com/2012draft. You can buy tickets, $10 a piece. It's going to be at Mall of America Field. It's going to be a really cool draft party this year, a different venue. Lots of giveaways, cool things to do. Doors open at 4. There's kind of a happy hour that you can go to. So it's going to be a really cool thing this year, the Vikings draft party. Vikings fans should check that out.
What are y'all talking about? What I miss?
We're talking about training. John, I was hanging out with John Fox there for a little while,
yeah.
and just listening to him is interesting, because he treats you like you're a guy at the bar just having a beer with him. And he put it out there that, well, the Broncos aren't going to be lifting as many heavy weights. You know, the big 45-pound plates and
right.
stacking them up on the bar. They're going to switch to more body weight exercises. And I love hearing about that stuff where you get to learn. You know, Kevin Love, for example, look at the shape he's in compared to years past. Body weight exercises is what he worked on so hard in the offseason, including yoga. So it's cool when you can hear from the horse himself, the horse's mouth, that these changes are coming.
And we're at the Scouting Combine, and speaking of Kevin Love, by the way, if we were not at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, thanks to Max Upon, there would be at least a couple of segments spent on the Minnesota Timberwolves' thrilling victory last evening, which we were following, I believe, from the Steak and Shake to start, Wobby, via our phones, because we couldn't watch it. I was getting text messages from a member of the Triangle offense. Julius Collins was texting me. My friend Jimmy Knutson was texting me. All of the members of the Wolves Covenant were texting me during the game, and it pained me that I couldn't watch my favorite team play. It sounds like it was a freaking disaster early, like we were just getting handled. Big Al was just running everybody. Kevin Love had a terrible shooting night. But then, and it looks like the Spanish kid also had a bad game.
Six turnovers, I think, yeah.
Six turnovers, very nondescript numbers, too, kind of down on the assists and the points and everything. But then, lo and behold, they're 18 down in the fourth quarter. They come surging from behind. They catch the Utah Jazz, and Luke Ridenour wins it with a floater at the end of the game. And just what a wonderful situation, especially for our brethren out there as members of Los Locos, the big group behind the basket on the visitors' bench side of Target Center.
They're becoming famous.
I bet you Los Locos was just going bonkers last night. Andale, andale. So if I hadn't been here, man, you know I would have been there, and it would have been fun.
Well, I was watching back at the hotel doing the Bring Me the News stuff, and I was watching OKC dismantle the Boston Celtics and refreshing the Wolves score all night.
Yeah.
Five threes in the fourth quarter. J.J. Barea had 9 of his 22. Like you said, Ridenour had 11 of his 17 in the fourth quarter. And Derek Williams actually had some big-time clutch moments, too. So Kevin Love, 3 of 14. The other guys step up. That's the combination, what you need to have to create wins.
A local guy named Tony Pastores went to Totino Grace. He works in the St. Louis Rams front office. So we're going to catch up with him and continue our speculation from the 2012 National Football League Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. This is The Fan.